He was cleaned up, was he? Yeah. Cleaned up today. That's good.
Did he have his uniform on?
Yeah.
He's teaching you. A jacket on?
Oh, that's funny. It's usually if I wear a tie, people say, "You preach this morning." Okay. I see Matt and Jennifer.
They're on vacation in Virginia, so they'll be back tomorrow.
There is no vacation from this class.
They said it's
online. Oh, did you hear that? Let's see. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Great. Thanks for telling me that. Seriously. Let's see. Ginny and Luke and Ginny Smith? They were in here last week. Did we scare them out? Did you scare them out? Okay, take your Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Let's begin with the word this morning. I think Luke 2:52 is a great guide for us in praying for our children. Hey, Mike. Good to see you. Luke 2:52. Grab her. Oh, no comment? Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, bless our time together this morning for your glory and for our benefit to be better for Christ as your kind of people and then as your kind of parents. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for the encouragement we gain from one another, most of all from your word and our worship together likewise. Bless our day. Bless Zach right now as he is teaching this morning also, and the word as we hear it even later this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I think it's a great example for us, a great guide for us, apart from the rest of the scriptures, in how to pray for our children. Notice Luke 2:52, talking about Christ, and Jesus kept increasing in what? Wisdom. Where we get wisdom? You know, right here from the Word. It's amazing. He learned the Word. So increasing in wisdom. We want to pray that for our children, do we not? What else? And in stature, we pray for them physically. They'll grow healthy. And in favor with God, they'll know the Lord and they'll grow in their understanding of Him and come to know Him personally by faith through Christ, right? And with men, that they'll be a blessing. That covers it, does it not? Luke 2:52, how to pray for our children. Okay, chapter 4, the toddler. You've got a handout. Let's just begin to think a little bit about the toddler. Here's some comments about toddlers. Somebody said, one day, I will be thankful for my child being strong-willed, but not now in the grocery store. Somebody else gave a definition of a headache is what occurs when you hear the sound of the Lego box being tipped over for the third time. Somebody asked, why is it that my toddler can change the settings on my iPad but can't figure out how to hold a fork? T-shirt. Front of it says, I work out. The back of it says, just kidding, I chase toddlers. Why Another comment here. Why did you wait to do that in the bathtub? Emotionally unstable. Here's definition of a toddler. Emotionally unstable, pint-sized dictator with the uncanny ability to know exactly how far to push you toward utter insanity before reverting to a lovable little creature. Okay. All right. Toddler. What's the word toddler? Toddle means unstable, right? Unstable. 12 to 16 months is our general framework there that we're talking about, correct? Toddlers are information receivers. Man, that computer is running constantly, looking, taking in, listening, watching. Information receivers, mimickers. Boy, have they. In fact, take your Bible again and turn with me to 1 Corinthians. These things are by divine intent that is true about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe it is. 1 Corinthians 11. Yes. 11 verse 1. Be what of me? Imitate me as I what? Boy, that could be the parenting passage, could it not? But our word there, imitate, is mimetai. We get that word mimic, right? Mimic. And that's what they are. They are. God made them that way. They're investigators. Want to check things out. You know, stick your hand in there, find out what's in there, all that type of thing. Correct? Want to check things out, how they work, take things apart. Interrogators, they want to ask you certain things. Why do I have to? So we're going to talk about. They are fidgeters. Howard Hendricks used to say, "Mom says sit still, but God says wiggle." Right, and they wiggle. Who will attempt to do anything they see anyone else do? You know why? Because they think they can do it. Right. They think they can do it. True about a toddler. I don't remember which one it was, because Deborah always, she can remember this, I can't, but we had one who used to say, I can do it myself in it. That was one of her key statements. I do it myself in it. They are naive, Proverbs chapter 1. Now we turn to Proverbs. Okay? Proverbs is a key, but are not exclusive. Oh, our key parenting book, is it not? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long? Now the NSV says, oh, naive one. Are there other translations there?
Simple.
Simple. Yeah, simple. Naive. Ones who will you love being. Now, the second part of verse is like that. What translate? ESV? Okay, read the whole verse if you would, please.
How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple?
Okay.
How long will scholars delight in mere scholarly and fools hate knowledge?
Okay, look over verse 32. Likewise, for the waywardness of the simple again, or naive, shall kill them. And it's in the context of what? Get what? Wisdom. And where are they supposed to get that from? Back to verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Everybody read it with me. Hear my, your, and do not. There's where it's going to come from. There's your task. There's your calling before God. In raising that little one, pointing them. So, they are naive, impressionable, oh my, by divine intent, again, oh, impressionable. Inattentive to danger and desperate for a father's instruction and mother's teaching. There's our verse. And a main instruction we've got going on, among others, but a main instruction we've got going on with the toddler is, you must obey mom and dad. That's a main one. That's at the top. And that's going to have everything to do with next week when we get to the preschool one. And I'm going to set you up for that right now. In the preschool phase that you have this prior to, I don't however you're going to school and whatever else, but you have this stage of now entering an instruction phase, and you've got them prior to that for you to grant them that wisdom and instruction. But why will they listen to you and heed what you are teaching them when they are able to understand so much, not only toddler, but especially likewise up into that preschool age? Why will they heed and listen to your instruction if they do not obey you? See? Well, why? Why are you going to have their attention if they haven't learned to obey? So that's the number one thing that we're doing with them. It's not the only thing. The number one. Okay, initial thoughts, page 53 and 54. The issue of why. Everybody say why. One of the favorite words in addition to no of our children, correct? We used to have a little girl. She's a little pumpkin that lived next door to us, and she'd come over and she'd say, "Mr. Kotke, what you doing?" And I would tell her, and she'd say, "Why?" And I would tell her again, and she'd say, "Why?" And she'd continue to do that, drive you nuts. Finally, her father just said, "Tell her to go home." But she'd just say, "Why? Why?" And she's pretty brilliant little mom today, is she not? But talking about that on page 54 as well, start at 53. An example of how dangerous, I'm at the second paragraph in 53, because I want to talk about this why thing. Example of how dangerous a toddler can act is the story of Martha's grandson, Matthew. One day, Matthew's mom found him standing on a kitchen chair and stirring a large pot of boiling spaghetti. When his horrified mother pulled him away and asked, "Why did you do that?" with a smile, he said, "My help you." Now, it sounds real cute. Another day that week, he bit his baby brother, Noah, on the arm, and when asked, "Why did you do that?" he exclaimed, "My taste him." Toddlers are a great joy, but often they are a very weak link. Now, is the most important thing when your child does what they're not supposed to do to ask them why? There's a time to ask why, but when your toddler, bites her brother, and you say, "Why?" Do you expect that toddler to say, "Because I'm selfish and I'm sinful, I have a depraved soul, and I struggle with Romans 7, things I want to do, I don't, things I don't want to do"? You expect that? What kind of nonsense is that, if I can say it that way to you? I'm just saying the most important thing is to not expect a child to be able to think and convey back to you what they cannot get. So what is important that they get? "Oh, stove is dangerous." We don't do that. Big difference there. Amen? So the why thing, does a toddler, I've written here, does a toddler need to give an explanation? Answer that. Does he? No. Why often will he say why? Because oftentimes asking you why can be a way to delay dealing with a child's rebellion. You say, "Oh, that doesn't, they're not that smart." They are even smarter than that. Amen? They are. They are. So oftentimes it can be why will be delayed obedience. And in effect is saying, "Why do I then have to listen to you?" Okay. Don't go the other ditch. You say, understand about the stove and so forth. But you get my drift on that? You get my drift? Secondly, toddlers need to be watched and protected. And that's an obvious one, isn't it? Can I read that one? Yeah, chase toddlers. We're shepherding them, and a shepherd has his eye on his sheep, does he not? Does that mean we're doing everything we can to just keep them preoccupied? You need to have a little game thing with you everywhere you go so that keep them out of trouble. Is that what we need to do? Sure? Some of you aren't sure how to respond to this. Okay, when we say watch and protect it, well, let's read what he says. Okay, where I'm going here. Page 54. Typically, a toddler can roll a ball or color with crayon. Be sure to protect the walls. Usually, they can listen to a story or music for 5 minutes or longer. I'm reading page 54. Their speech is improving, and most can speak in complete sentences. They love to help their parents with chores, but, of course, greatly slow down the parents. Most of them love to sing and dance to music and have a great deal of energy. Their play is their work as they learn to stack blocks and turn pages in a book. It is always adorable when you ask a toddler, "How old are you?" And he really concentrates to hold up the two fingers, or three. At this point in their growth, they begin to ask, "What's this and what?" Excuse me, and why? It also occurs to them that they want to do it themselves. As their motor skills improve, toddlers can walk and climb. They can pull a chair over to a cabinet, climb up on it, pull the dishes over on themselves. They can run, laugh with glee, and take off in full speed in the opposite direction from mom or dad who says, "Come here to me." The problem with their newfound joy is that they cannot discern when it really is cute and fun or when they are running into the path of an oncoming car. So they must be watched and protected. We know that, don't we? Right? So I want to accommodate them enjoying being a toddler. Backyards with fence so they can get out there and get in the dirt and have fun. But we need to keep an eye on them because there's they may stick their hand through the fence and there's the dog next door, or they may climb the tree, and all of a sudden you realize how far they can be. So we keep an eye on them, and that's our responsibility. Okay, question now at this time in light of all this. Can a toddler learn to share? Can they? Yeah, I think they can. So you have those twins. Twins there, twins here. Okay. You give one of the twins two cookies, and you say, "Share, can we share?" You know, and we're modeling that, we're teaching that, you know. At first few times, they just put both two cookies in their mouth, okay? But then we work on it, teaching them to share. Is that a big deal, teaching them to share? Huh? What was Jesus? A servant, right? Others. So can a teacher? Yeah, they can. Do you remember the story, if you've read, I'm not sure which book it is by Paul or even Ted Tripp, but he, and this is a little older child, but I love the story, that they were working on sharing with reference to the toys. And it was always, "I claim, you know, this toy and or those toys or whatever else." So for some reason, they said, okay, the way to solve this is the first one who touches the toy, they get to play with the toy. So one of his children, I don't know how old, do you remember approximately? But one of his children picked up on that and got up earlier than all of the other rest of the family and just went and touched all the toys. I don't think that really worked really well for that. I remember one of our grandsons, different times, we'd give him something and he'd say he wanted another one for his brother. I don't know if he still got that stage going on. But that was a good thing. I just remember that. So, yeah, we're teaching them to obey, but we're teaching them other things too. For example, how to share. Okay, Bible's perspective on the toddler. And they begin in page 55 by saying, are we really lacking biblical truth on the toddler? I'm asking that question. They're not. They're saying, like the infant, what we learn about the toddler in the scriptures is not very much. And I understand what they're saying. There's not this passage after that passage directed specifically to the toddler. But we have the Proverbs. And the Proverbs is saturated with stuff about the child. I want you also to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Just some other principles with reference what we do have with the toddler. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And with Luke 2:52, this is what I think is another key one relating to what we have in the scriptures concerning the toddler. Luke, where did I say? Luke 6. Verse 40. Bill, will you read that verse real loud for us? 6:40.
A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher.
Can that be a parenting verse?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we are back to that idea of mimicking. What you say, and even what you do, and oftentimes what you do is going to mean more than what you say, right? So you want your little toddler to be loving to their brother or sister. And we model that in the family. You want them to be kind. Kind, why don't we, that word, what, how does that word register in their mind? You have to show them how what kindness looks like. And when they demonstrate that, we commend them. So we've got this powerful passage. I realize this is about discipling, but we're doing that. But when that, if anything is going to happen, that child is going to become so much like you in terms of your characteristics. We have another key passage, I think, that is phenomenal about parenting and our children, and that is over in the book of Hebrews and our toddler. Now, obviously, again, these don't say toddler, but I think we can definitely apply these. And it's about our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 5:8, which is phenomenal to me because he was God in flesh, right? But my Christology says in the incarnation, Jesus laid aside some of the independent prerogatives of some of his prerogatives as deity. And Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, Hebrews 5:8, it's talking about Jesus, what did he learn? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus learned from Psalm 119 his ABCs. Jesus went to the city. He learned. Jesus is our model in this. Did you want to say something? Okay. So here we are again. We do have biblical principles or passages that relate much to what's going on in our responsibility. We're teaching. And correcting too, number three, discipline. Discipline. 56. A 2 or 3 year old may be taught to obey the first time you give him instruction. Do they have any kids? I'm sorry. Okay. It would probably help your child if you practice with him how to respond, right? Make sure you have your child's attention. Speak in normal tone of voice and give a clear, age-appropriate instruction. Don't be too, everybody say that, don't be too what? That's what I have under number three. I think it's a main point. Avoid being too wordy. And again, oftentimes, your child doesn't need a long explanation as much as he or she needs clarity in what you are requiring of them. Let me say it another way. You are not to argue your child into obedience. You are to teach them to obey mom and dad, not argue. And I think there is nothing more of a waste of time than we see a mother or a father with a child trying to give them this long explanation. Please, you know, don't stick your hand in the fence, because if you do, you might get bit by that dog. If you get bit by that dog, we'll have to take you to the doctor. Mommy doesn't have the car here today to take you to the doctor, and your dad doesn't have insurance to cover that. See what I'm saying? Your child doesn't need all that stuff. Your child needs to, oh, that's dangerous. We don't do that. Be careful. Right? Too wordy. But oftentimes that relates to parents trying to argue their children into obedience. All of you have kids. Doesn't work, does it? Amen? Doesn't work. So we'd want to be careful not to be too wordy. Deborah pointed out something to me from Reagan's roundup. Reagan Rose does some blogging and stuff, and one of the guys on staff out at Grace Church there on the West Coast. He says this: anyone who teaches young children has to stop and think about the words he uses when communicating to them. We should not assume that the thoughts in our minds are effectively communicated without distortion to the minds of the children. It is vitally important to ask children what they have understood us to say. Okay? So what we say certain things to our children, what's going on in their mind as they understand that, might be two different things. So we're working on clarity, and a way to be clear is to say more with what? Less. Check? Say more with less. This kind of gets back to those biblical principles that we talked about too, you know? Jesus wants us to share little things that we communicate with them. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Could I recommend John Yon's Everyday Talk?
No, but thank you. Okay? Say it again so they can hear you.
Everyday Talk.
Yeah. We have that, I think, in our book center, don't we? Mm-hmm. Okay. Second, with reference to discipline, we could spend 6 weeks on this topic. There's more about the spanking issue in the back. We'll get to a little bit of that, but I'm covering some of the big principles on the toddler in this chapter. Second bullet point there, attitude matters. There should be an S there. Attitude matters. It matters. And I want to ask you why. Why? Real loud.
It's the heart.
It's the heart. We're going after the heart. Yeah. We are going after the behavior. But the easiest thing for a Christian to do is to raise a first-class little Pharisee. Or as Howard Hendricks again used to say, it's like the child that you're saying, sit down, right? And he won't. You say, sit down. Third time, sit down, and he gives in. But you can tell on his face, he's sitting on the outside, but what? He's still standing on the inside. So the heart, we're going after the heart. And I have gave you a one page, I think I did. Yes, from an article from Shepherding, the Work and Character of a Pastor and Elders. We're in this as elders week by week. We get together and we talk about the various articles in here for God's kind of leaders. And one article in there by a pastor on with reference to his children, raising children, I thought number 7 was good that we would even go ahead and just read that. So that's that extra little clip of an article that I want to take a moment to read. Discipline with faithful consistency in order to eradicate foolishness. What's foolishness? Foolishness is rebellion. Foolishness is no, I want my way. Foolishness is godlessness. Foolishness is living life without God and suffering the consequences of it. I'm getting older with reference to the fool. And when you read those, well, here we go. Folly, foolishness, is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline drives it far from him. Do not withhold discipline from a child, for if you strike him with the rod, he will not die. He will tell you he's dying, but he will not die. If you strike him from the rod, you will save his soul from the grave. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. The rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Let me say a couple of things here. My wife and I did a very poor job of disciplining our children until we read Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Up until that point, we used every worldly manipulative mechanism in order to discipline our children. I'm going to count to 3, or you're making daddy so sad, or I promise you I'm going to discipline you now. You can make these empty threats. If you keep doing that, I'm going to take you home. But when you do this, you aren't really teaching your kids to what? There we are. This is how it worked for us. I'd ask them, do you know what you did wrong? They'd say, yes, I didn't take out the trash. I'd say, do you know what I'm going to do now? They'd say, yes, you're going to discipline. And afterward, I would have them sit on my lap and I would pray with them. Why do you do this? To be in charge? No. To get your own frustration and anger out of your system? No, never. You do this to eradicate foolishness. We're driving that out of their heart, their tender heart, their tender heart. Now, discipline is more than a spanking. Everybody got it? So we're just, this is, come in there in the class on how to beat your child. No, okay. It's much more than this, but it includes that clear reference to. Good little quote there that I wanted to bring your way. Okay, avoid being too wordy. Attitude matters. So you discipline your child and you're finished and they scream at you and say, I hate you. Are you done? I don't think you're done. Now, when we discipline our children, my opinion is, don't give the instruction right away. Give them an opportunity. Give them some grace to catch themselves, you know, recoup, so to speak. And then I say, okay, you're going to do some teaching then? And love the daylights out of them. And remember, every discipline circumstance is an opportunity for the what? For the gospel. Why? We are sinners. Mom and Dad are sinners too. You're a sinner. I love you. I want you to do what's right. We need Jesus to help us do what's right. We have an opportunity for the gospel. Okay? So we always keep that in mind. But discipline is more, third bullet point, discipline is more than a spanking. But that attitude thing can come up. Or you discipline a child. I've seen this. A dad tries to discipline a child, and the child goes ballistic, and he's hitting on you. Excuse me. Why are you laughing over there?
No, nothing about that.
Yeah. You want to hear anything?
With a strong-willed child, the object is not to win. To break. You know, to break it.
Yeah. Okay. What is it?
To get it in the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know that they get that strong-willed stuff from the low side, not the cocky side. You understand that? Tenderness. Tenderness came from us. Okay? Just want you to understand that.
You got
the most
thinking? And why?
We're not going there. Oh, yeah. Okay. After the heart. Deborah and I, let me just say this also. There's no single parents in here. But single parents need a lot of encouragement in doing this on their own. That's where the church comes alongside, okay? And then we have people that come to Christ, and this is all new for them, and they've got a toddler already, and they come back and they say, all I'm doing every day is correcting this child. Often we have to tell them, you're probably right on target here. Now, love to death, right? Extend grace, be clear. But this is the stage to which we are developing obedience. And it isn't done in a day. Discipline, fourth bullet point here. Fourth bullet point. Discipline with self-control. Sensitivity, consistency, and integrity. Integrity. Yeah, you, integrity. You love them, you care for them, you pray for them. Self-control. If we're out of control, I would confess to you right now, there were times I think I was out of control taking out my frustration on the child. We can't do that, right? We can't do that. Sensitivity, why? Not all of your children respond the same way to the same discipline, correct? One, Deborah had a dad who just looked at her, and that was enough, wasn't it, with you? I know that you needed more, but that seemed to be all the time. But seriously, she talks about her dad. All he had to do was look at her. I'll tell you what, I wasn't that way as a kid. Even my dad, whatever else. I'm thankful. I'm thankful very much. Dad kept his word when he said, whoa, go to the garage. It wasn't we were going to have a talk. And I'm thankful for that. He didn't maybe necessarily always do it perfect or right, but he did it, and it got through to me. And in the long term, I realized, be thankful for a dad who would say, wait a minute, no, you cannot do that and rebel in that way. So sensitivity to the child, consistency, and again, dad and mom being on the same page there, right? Being on the same page. I'm going to read page 57 where it says, if the child disobeys. If the child disobeys, second paragraph, with a sinful attitude, the parents has several choices. Give up, try later, try to reason, threaten to spank. If the child does not respond by the time he or she counts to 10 or snaps your fingers 5 times or repeat the instruction while yelling in anger, or simply to get the child and drag him to where he should be. Since none of those choices will achieve the righteous end that God and the parents desire, the biblical response most of the time is simply to spank the child. Down at the bottom of 57, in the middle of the paragraph, whoever spares the rod hates his son. Now that's, wow, huh? But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Giving your child a little pop as he breezes by is not a spanking. Okay, so consistency and bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't waste the spanking. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Middle of page 59. After the spanking, that's where I want to go. After the spanking, toward the bottom. Mom or dad should calmly talk with the child to make sure he knows what he did wrong and what he should have done instead. Also teach the child to ask forgiveness. You will then grant forgiveness and give a hug, and that will be the end of the matter. Now, but don't get ahead of them on this. Make sure they understand what we're doing in that. Okay? Okay? But they can pick up on that pretty fast. So, it may seem that all of you're doing is correcting your child. Stay faithful. Your consistency will yield fruit. It will yield fruit. I have a little book called A Puritan Golden Treasury. I just got this recently. It's just statements by the Puritans. And Thomas Fuller, one of the Puritans, said, as for those parents who will not use the rod upon their children, I pray God he useth not their children as a rod for them. Page 2, Paul Harvey. All right? All right, TT, terrible twos or tremendous twos. Anger is a serious issue. Oh boy, it is. Anger is a serious issue. Page 60. All right. Scott, you guys got the book back there? Would you read right under what about the terrible twos, read the rest of that page real loud for us. Okay. Some think.
Okay. Some think that being 2 years old has a rite of passage with a built-in excuse for a temper or a temper meltdowns. Well, let's analyze this biblically. The 2-year-old is not old enough or strong enough to simply take what he wants or to stop his parents from intervening. However, he is old enough and sinful enough to become angry at not having his way. Since he is not especially mature, He may cry, rage, scream, and or flail in anger. If the parents give in, the child has learned that screaming in anger works. It works well.
Just stop right there. You don't believe that? Go to the toy section at Walmart and watch it work. Watch it work for that parent. Okay, whatever it is, just to get them to quiet down. Correct? It works. So, read on.
So, he will likely do it again, but scream louder and longer the next time. Some people think the best approach is to ignore it, and eventually the child will stop. While it is likely the child will get tired of screaming and eventually calm down, it is never good for a child to give full vent to his anger and to display such an incredible lack of self-control. God's remedy for this is to quickly go to the child, calmly tell him to stop, and then spank him. As folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. Keep in mind that a 2-year-old having a temper tantrum has the same heart as a 16-year-old screaming and swearing at his parents. The fool's heart is full of anger, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. And it is the rod of discipline that will drive out the folly. It's much better to begin at this stage of the child's life.
Remember a repeated phrase last week? Be sure that you are willing to extend what?
Grace.
Extend mercy and grace. So, listen, a child has had one of those days, you know, and you've had family over all day and whatever else, and he's so tired and the rest. Be sensitive to those things, right? We're not looking for an opportunity to do this. But I wanted us to read this for one major reason. Listen, if you're not dealing with the screaming and the yelling and the rebellion at the two, expect it in 12, 14, 16, and 18. And wonder why there is no respect for you and your word. And listen, part of that obedience thing is to obey your word. To get them to obey your word, in one sense, prepares them to have respect for another word, and that is the word of God. Likewise. So, there is a sense in which it is pay me now or what? Pay me later. Check? And we have plenty of examples of that. If anything is going on in our world right now, it is a lack of response and obedience to authority based upon young people. Okay, we need to move. Oh, yep. You didn't signal me today. You're sleeping. Okay. Second bullet point. That TT require, the terrible twos require tough and tender parents. Tough, you're not going to be passive about sin. Tender, but you're going to love the daylights out of them. And Psalm 85:6 says, God is, what does it say? Eager to forgive, ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive, and so are we as parents, right? Next bullet point. Discipline is not shaming, embarrassing, or demeaning your child. I don't love you now because you weren't good, right? We don't do that stuff, or you're bad. It's not shaming, embarrassing, or demeaning. What's wrong with manipulation? Nothing if you're a grandfather. give them M&Ms if they'll be good. Okay? But listen, we're not bargaining with our children to do right. Amen, everybody? Manipulate, whatever, distract or promise or, you know, if you be good, I'll get you. No. We're not doing that thing. We're not manipulating. It doesn't work. Biblical instruction. I want to finish. Your toddler can memorize the scriptures. Oh my, can he memorize, she memorize the scriptures? How about picking out a verse, just a shorter verse, lunchtime, we're just repeating that with our kids. They can memorize the scripture at dinner together with music or catechizing your child. Second bullet point, music is a gift for instruction and praise. Fill your home with it. Fill your home with music that is filled with the word. Next, does your biblical instruction have to be formal? Must we do devotions? Do you have formal instruction with your children? God bless you. But Deuteronomy 6:7 says, teach them going out, coming in, there, somewhere else, everything going on in life. Life is the classroom. The Bible is the lesson book, and you are the teacher. Bring God into everything. Okay? You have formal instruction. We're going to read the word right here. Fine. But there's nothing in the Bible that says do devotions. And lots of times you'll find out as you get together and you say, it's time we're going to have devotions. The kids look at one another and go, who's going to fall asleep first? You know, there goes Dad waxing eloquent or whatever else. Okay? Number five. Six. Doesn't matter whether you learn this. I just want to finish my outline. Okay? Remember, my example is key to everything I want to teach my child. Bullet points. Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will what? Make you fishers of men. Your example. Or that 1 Corinthians 11:1. Mimic. My toddler, bullet points. My toddler can have a thankful heart. He can. He can learn it from you. He can have a thankful heart. Second, my child can learn reverence. This is the Bible. Bible is not a toy. It's something a child can get when they begin to read. Okay? They can have reverence. They can learn reverence. Church, we're going to hear from God. Oh, God. No one like God. They can learn reverence. My toddler, next. My toddler can learn the joy of giving and serving. And when that little one learns how to pick up the plates for mommy before mommy asks and carries over to the sink, you ought to do a backflip and say, did that ever please Jesus? Right? And, which of the seven tips at the end of the chapter is most relevant to you? Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to. Our fallen nature has that upside down. Check? So we got to learn the joy. You gave that toy to that friend. You gave that to them. Wow. We're having ice cream today. You know? Not trying to reward, but to celebrate obedience. I just think that I was repeating a lot of stuff there that we've covered that you know, but what a time it is. What an important time it is. Amen? And may we redeem the time. And I thought that the chapter on the toddler was one of the best so far, and then I read the next chapter again, and I can't wait till next Sunday. Check? So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, how sufficient it is for us in all of these areas. And then there's wisdom, then there's common sense, then there's mercy, and there's grace that we're extending. Help us to be consistent. Help us, even as husbands and wives, to think through the things together going on with our child, that we'd be attentive to what they're going through, struggling with. Help us to be careful with our word, our instruction to them. Help us to be merciful and loving and forgiving, and help us to have a home that is such a special place for those little ones. And we thank you for the privilege of parenting, and we pray this in Christ's name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.